You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Kind of a random Tuesday. Can we call it, is today a random Tuesday? What makes a day a random day? May 20th, Tuesday. What makes a random day? Is today a random Tuesday? I think it has to be, right, Josh?
I mean, yeah, with all the weird stuff, all the weird random news we've gotten today, conversations and everything like that, I think it's random enough.
No, I know, but that makes it unwritten. That's the point. It's a random Tuesday. For a random Tuesday, we got a bunch of news. Like, it starts off as a random day that you don't expect anything. It's just a random day. And then, wait a minute, we got all this stuff we can talk about. This is my first time in the studio in like a week because they were doing some work in here. It is way brighter in here in your studio.
Yeah, we got brand new lights and they look great.
It is way brighter in here.
It's super helpful
and
in the morning.
It's not flickering. Right? Like, usually you got this one light up there. It's like, flickers every once in a while, right?
It's super helpful when I get here at like 5 in the morning and I'm like kind of tired and it's dark outside. It just kind of like, all right, we're awake now, you know?
Yeah. I looked into the studio and into your studio. There's a piece of glass, a big glass between Josh and I. Josh Schmidt's producing the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And you probably see that when you watch the morning show sometimes or the afternoon show on YouTube. And like, I looked over and you're super bright in there now. And then I realized that's on my side too, super bright. So yeah, they did a good job of fixing these lights. It's good for me too as I get older. I've always had very good eyesight. But I will tell you, it is true. Like, as you get older, it just starts to kind of go a little bit, right? I see that in the morning. Every once in a while, I'll get up in the morning now. And, you know, first thing you do, what do you do when you get up in the morning? You look at your phone, you look at Twitter, you open up the news and see what's going on. What'd you miss overnight? Scores. And I do actually have a hard time looking at some of the, like, I'm reading the text. But I also sleep with a fan right on me. And my wife says it's drying your eyes out. That's why. So you get up and it dries your eyes out.
But your eyes are shut.
Yeah, but I think that it just kind of does. It blows right on you, right? So I think that might be it. But anyway, so I like this look. It's nice and bright, and it gives us a chance to kind of perk up and talk about all of the news and things happening on a random Tuesday in May. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. So, a lot to get to today. Flag football, the tush push, playoff seeding, NBA and NHL conference finals, Mitch Marner. Everything is kind of on the table right now. If you'd like to, all of that. I mean, let's just talk about it at 803-0550. We also have Paul Hamilton coming up at 10:30 to talk on a little bit of this. And at 11 o'clock, Brayton Wilson's going to hop in studio because he's here on the WBEN side working. And he's going to talk a little bit. I'm going to ask him about the stadium tour he did last week maybe 2 weeks ago from a lot of people from the different news organizations and prospects for the NHL draft, because that could also impact, you know, the Sabres offseason, obviously what their plan is. It will impact it in some way. Will Mitch Marner impact the Sabres offseason? Where should we start? I was told flag football was getting a lot of traction. All right, let's start there. So the flag football proposal, and you are welcome to call about this. And I guess on the morning show, there were quite a few people who called in and had some opinions on flag football. Here is exactly what Adam Schefter tweeted this morning. He said, ESPN sources say a vote to allow NFL players to participate in flag football for the first time during the 2028 Summer Olympics in LA is expected to pass in today's league meetings in Minneapolis. Nothing is official yet, but one source said about today's vote, Olympics should be easy. Okay, this has been happening in other sports for a long time. I'm pretty sure most of you understand the evolution of the Olympics, but I think for a lot of younger listeners and people who don't maybe know what it was like before pros started playing in all these different sports, The Olympics were sacred for amateurs for many years. That is why the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, why it is so revered in so many ways, because of what they were able to do as a bunch of amateur hockey players, non-professional paid athletes, college hockey players, essentially, beating a bunch of professionals in Russia. And, I mean, I think the rules might have been ambiguous. Other countries always had kind of their pros, right? That's what they did. They might not have called them pros, but they were pros. But the United States never sent pros to the Olympics. They sent amateurs, people who didn't get paid. It was really about, it was an amateur event. And the other countries were sending professionals, and they were playing these sports, and it was happening in, it started happening in basketball a lot. So our game, so obviously the United States beats the Russia in their game in hockey, and, you know, there's a big fallout from that, of course, and it's during the Cold War, and it's a big deal, and that's why it was so special, all those things. The theater that surrounded it was amazing. So then you get to later in the 80s, and now European countries are sending professional basketball players to the Olympics. The United States are sending college players to the Olympics. And it was kind of, basketball's always been kind of our game, right? Oh, yeah, we'll just beat anybody in basketball. And then that started not happening. And there were a couple famous times in the, late 80s, where the U.S. Olympic men's basketball team just did not have enough talent. They were using amateurs and college players, and they were losing. So basically, the United States Olympic Committee said, yeah, screw this. Let's send our professional American basketball players to the Olympics, and we'll show the world how great we can be if we did that. And that's how you got the Dream Team. That was the genesis of the Dream Team, essentially, was, okay, we're tired of other countries sending their pros, so we're now going to send our pros to show them what it's really like. Bam. And, of course, they just cleaned everybody up. And that was great to see, but it also took away from what the Olympics were truly about here in America, which was amateurism. And let's be honest, over the last 30 years, the lines between amateurism and professionalism have been blended throughout. I mean, I'm talking, like, of course, college, NIL, everybody's getting paid now, right? These college athletes aren't amateurs anymore. They're pros. They're getting paid. That's what the definition of being a pro is, a professional. You get paid for your job, your duty. Professional radio announcer, right? Professional plumber, professional construction worker, whatever it is, you're not on the job training and not getting paid. College athletes are now, even if they want to call it something else, that's what they're doing. So it's kind of taken away from that aspect, which really sucks for a lot of people. But what we've seen is, the flip side, the best athletes in the world competing at the Olympics. And that's why hockey has become awesome to watch in a lot of ways. And even in basketball, right? The Americans now go, and basketball is such a worldwide game that professionals from all these other countries start playing. And they're so good in other countries, whether it's Lithuania or Spain or whatever, and you have great contests now because, you know, the game has grown so much over the years. So now you're getting pros from all these other countries that are on par with the American teams, the American talent, in a lot of ways. Hockey too, right? It's been really kind of, Canada and Russia and Finland, Sweden, and the Americans, like, everybody's right there. That's why you do the four nations, because these are the best countries. And I know there were different reasons why you only chose those countries, but that's what's happened. Now we're in this. Now what we've seen is, on top of that, football has never been a true, like, Olympic sport to tackle football. But they play it around the world. And we all know, like, you can't just make, I mean, if you wanted to make football, I don't think it's ever been, if you want to make football a tackle Olympic sport, like, the American, the pool of talent from America would be just like it was back for the Dream Team, and even more so. It just wouldn't be right, wouldn't be fair. But flag football, what's happened is, in conjunction with, let's think about this now, in conjunction with how everything's gone from amateurs to professionals and Olympics, at that same time period, over the last 20 years or so, football has really kind of evolved into a game of really less big hits, less physicality on purpose because of all these lawsuits and research and people understanding more about head injuries and trauma. And that's brought out the game of flag football at a younger level, at an older level, I should say. First, in older and younger, I should say, both of them. But flag football has become a really big sport around the country. And it's growing all the time. And it's boys and girls and men and women. And it's becoming so big at the same time that professionals are playing the Olympics. That's how we got to today. That's how we got here. You have the in conjunction with pros going to the Olympics with this unbelievable explosion of flag football around the country. And especially in the United States, but everywhere. They're playing flag football everywhere now. And that's how we got here. And I think there's a, I don't even know if I want to see a romanticism. There is a theater. There is a, yeah, let's watch this. Thinking about professional NFL football players playing flag football for their country. And at the highest of levels against each other. And I don't know like what the other, what kind of players all these countries will have. I would imagine the American team will be really stacked. There's going to be a lot of people just want to tune in and watch this and say, let me see these guys play. And we've seen it at the Pro Bowl now. That's why they changed the Pro Bowl. Everything I just said, it's gone from the Pro Bowl used to go from an actual football game they used to play. They don't do that anymore. Thank God, because it was terrible. I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, it wasn't terrible, but it got terrible. Nobody wanted to hit anybody, and it was just for fun. So, all right, let's just stop playing the game. We'll play flag football now. And that's what they've done. You've also had times where at the Pro Bowl, everybody might know the story or remember Robert Edwards, who was a running back. They played, flag football on the beach, was it? Was he playing flag football when he tore his ACL? I think it was that, right? Do you remember? Robert Edwards, it wasn't beach volleyball, it was flag football, I think, they were playing on the beach. And he wound up tearing his ACL. So I think that's the fear, right, from a lot of people. So I'm interested in your thoughts about this. That's the history of it. That's how we got here. Where are we going with it and why are we going there? Well, the reason we're going there, yes, I think there's a piece of, of course, where is, would it be NBC maybe has the Olympics? Yeah, they're going to want to put this on TV and showcase, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and all these incredible athletes. They're going to want to do that, right? No doubt. But it's really, I think, because where football is they're trying to really continue to grow the sport of flag football. The numbers for football, like tackle football, were declining for a long time, and I think they've kind of ebbed a little bit. They've kind of leveled off, and even people are starting to play again a little bit more. But that's because of the introduction of flag football at the lower levels, and then playing at a younger age and getting up higher as you get to the tackle levels. I mean, I started playing tackle football in third grade. I was on the 65-pound team. That's right, the 65-pound team for the Cheektowaga. It was called the Little Thunder, actually Little Thunder. And then you had the 80-pound Thunderbolts and the 800-pound Thunderbirds and the 135-pound Thunder Chiefs, I think it was. But, I don't know how many places do that anymore at that age. Used to weigh in and could not weigh more than 65 pounds. I was so small, I could weigh in with all my equipment and still literally was able to play. It was okay. But that was my first exposure. Like, we didn't have flag football. It was tackle football. You want to play football, you play tackle football. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And I'm sure there is some of that going around now. And people are like, yeah, my kid does. But there's a lot less of it. People are playing flag football. The game is growing. And great. It's awesome. My son plays flag football. And there's these tournaments everywhere. I play flag football. But for younger people, for boys, for girls, for men, for women, it's great. And that's how we got to where we are now. But do you want to see these NFL stars, these NFL players playing flag football? That's where we'll start today. I have some thoughts on this reseeding of the playoffs, too, that I want to get to, and the tush push, okay? Let's start it off, though, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Jim in South Buffalo. Hi, Jim. What do you think?
Okay, the flag football in the Olympics, and it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair right now. We should start off with sending our college players. I really think that a team of five-star recruits, high school players, could beat the world.
Okay, so you think you're for flag football in the Olympics, just not sending the NFL players there for that reason. I get
correct. I would like to see more competition from the United States. You know, go a little lesser. You know, the rest of the world's not up to par with us. I don't want to see another 1992. I'm sorry for my voice.
That's okay.
I have multiple sclerosis. So
no, it's all good. You're good, Jim. Take your time. Hey, you don't want to see a 1992 Dream Team again?
Exactly. I don't want to see us just go in there and just beat the crap out of people at our own.
Let me ask you this, Jim. Let me ask you this. How, like, if you don't mind, how old are you? Like, what? How old are you right now?
I'm 43.
Okay, all right. You're a little younger than me, but you remember the 92 team. Do you remember in 92 what you thought about it? Because I tend to agree with you. Like, okay, what are we doing? But in 92, we're like, let's show the world how great we are. And it was great to watch those guys play, right? It was, like, unbelievable to watch them play together. It proved a point, and it was fun to watch the point being proven at the time. And then you're like, okay, we don't need this anymore. That's the way I looked at it.
That's exactly it, yeah.
I got you.
It was cool to see that at first when, but I was a little kid. I thought it was awesome, you know. I was like, yeah, I tried to take on Michael Jordan. But I think that, like, some really good high school kids would make some good competition, and it would be fun to watch and to root for.
I don't know what the other countries have. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Let's go to Sam in Buffalo. Hi, Sam. You're on WGR.
Hi. I think I have a little bit different of a perspective on this. Coming from, like, a lacrosse background where there just started to be international play, and now, like, Canada, U.S. have always been, like, the top teams. In order to grow a sport, especially, like, flag football, you really have to showcase to the rest of the world the types of players that are going to be playing. And I think that if we let, like, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen go to play flag football, it's going to not only let the world know how amazing of a sport it is, like it did with lacrosse, especially in Israel when there was 56 teams that were there, but it's also going to invigorate a bunch of money being poured into the sport to grow it and to have there be better competition in the future.
Yeah, I like that, Sam. I think that's what the NFL is thinking, right, which is, we're trying to grow this game. And look, around Western New York even, flag football is becoming a high school sport and even a college sport. You have college teams. And if this becomes something that younger people can look at and say, I want to do that, I want to be a part of that, I think that's a part of the intention here for what the NFL is doing, what they want. So Nick Shook, I really like Nick. He's a fun writer at NFL.com, does a really good job. Nick Shook wrote just a few days ago, earlier this week, last week, he put down a 12-person roster of a flag football team. What he would give, okay? Six on offense, six on defense. There's one sub on each side, okay? Do you think he put a Bills player on this roster? One American football team, flag football team roster.
I'm going to say no. I think he should put Josh Allen on there, but I feel like he put maybe Lamar Jackson on there instead.
He did.
I just think, like, in the context of flag football, it might. I could see the argument either way, but I would put Allen, but I do see the point of putting Jackson.
Even though he did write, Jackson is unquestionably the top choice for the job, although Jaden Daniels might make a nice second option, he wrote.
I could see that too.
There's a lot of guys you can make a second.
Right. I mean, especially, you know, with the way they play quarterback now.
Sure. Like, Jalen Hurts would be a good option. No?
I don't think so.
No?
He's not in the same category.
No, not like running like that, but I mean, like, just he's, yeah. Not as much as those guys.
Yeah, and that's where you kind of get into the whole tush push conversation and all that too. But, like, I look at, like, Daniels, Jackson, and Allen in terms of, like, a flag football scenario. Those three, I think, are the best. And it's kind of a toss-up, whichever one you want, really. I mean, with Allen, at least you have the ability to throw, too. But Daniels also offers that a little bit. We've been seeing that as the season went on. So I think it's really just like any of those three could make it easily. I don't think there's one above the rest, though. I think they're all very equal. In this,
for
in
running
this
back, he has Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, that's fine.
At wide receiver, he has two guys, and I don't have any issue. Justin Jefferson. He's got DK Metcalf over Jamar.
Interesting. Is it the size?
I don't know.
Well, you don't have to tackle him, though, so...
It's the speed.
Oh,
he gave it a shot. He posted a respectable time of 10.37 seconds against elite sprinters. Plus, freakish combination of physical gifts. There you go. Tight end he has, Brock Bowers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And his offensive substitute is another running back. Who do you think he chose?
Derrick Henry.
No.
Hmm.
You got to think guy who can catch the ball.
That's true.
Have some moves. Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh.
Interesting,
okay.
Right?
I like that.
Defense. Kalijah Kancey of the Bucks. Fred Warner, who just got paid. Patrick Surtain and Sauce Gardner as his corners.
Oh.
And you have to include Travis Hunter, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't care, but I've never seen him play it down in the NFL. I'm including Travis Hunter.
But then he can play both sides of the ball, and it's like, you know, that'd be really fun, actually. I didn't even think about him in this scenario. Because he's going to be, what, that'll be like year three in the NFL for him at that point? In 2028?
Yeah. And yeah, that's right. And then Tariq, well, and by the way, that's right. DK Metcalf, how old is he going to be by then, right? I mean, you ready for that?
I mean,
right?
If you're making the roster for right now, it makes sense. But
Right now, yeah, that's right. Tariq Woolen would be his defensive substitute. Size, the length, speed. Interesting. That's Nick Shook. He wrote that. All right, we'll take a timeout here in a minute. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I welcome your calls today at 803-0550. We are getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. When we come back, I'm going to have Paul Hamilton. We're going to preview the NHL Conference Finals. Also, his thoughts on what happened with the Leafs, or didn't happen. Mitch Marner, and more with Paul Hamilton. Plus, I'll get to the tush push. Maybe we'll have news on exactly what's going to happen with that. The playoff reseeding. This is all on the table today, basically, at the owners' meetings this week. But I think votes are coming today on all of this. So I have some thoughts on all of that. We'll talk about it. Thanks for joining me today. It's a Tuesday, a random Tuesday, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.